You're listening to 2SER 107.3. Philippe Perez here with you, and a nice little tune there from The Blow, which I'm laughing at, called Parentheses. It's a nice little cute tune from them. And prior to that, we heard The Magnetic Fields and I Wish I Was Your Boyfriend. You're listening to 2SER 107.3. I was also laughing and chatting here with Sophie Horvath. Howarth. Thanks for that. I was actually wondering how the heck you said your last name, but nevertheless, she is a music photographer. She's been involved with Big Day Out throughout its tenure. The festival circuit for a musician is pretty much a hectic time itself, but what if you weren't up on stage on the festival playing, but capturing the snaps of those artists year in and year out, touring the country while doing it? Sophie is the official tour photographer of the Big Day Out. She's been involved with the festival each and every year, and pretty much taking photos of anything and everything to do with the festival. A life taking photos on the road is no small feat, and collating up to 14 years of them for a book isn't an easy task either. But that's what Sophie's done, and as such released an updated book called Peace, Love and Brown Rice, a photographic history of the Big Day Out. She joins me in the studio this morning. Good morning, Sophie.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I can't say the word photographic very well, or photographic.
It's a big title too.
Oh, gosh. Being a photographer, I'm sure you get that a lot. Anyway, were there any times where you'd felt like, you know, while compiling this book that you just felt memories just kept on flooding back to you? What were the most pertinent memories to you when you collected all these photos for this book?
Well, like you just said, like dropping into the space of making it, it was like reliving the whole journey, like the whole 14 years, going back into the feelings. Like, it's amazing, like, what the photographs can do. They can actually take you right into that space, and the memory and the smell and the feeling, and it all just like, you know, you sort of glaze over. And I've actually noticed that with people who pick up the book, and you know, everyone wants to share their story with me, which is amazing, and they actually can see them glazing over and actually going back to being in the Horton Pavilion, Nirvana playing, oh my god, I was at another stage, I can't believe I missed them. And like, all these, you know, people have regrets as well. They were overwatching some other band because it was too crowded in there, and you know, some people like were sitting side stage, front of stage. Tony Mott was the other photographer, and he beats himself up because he said, that was back in the day when you could shoot the whole set, you know, not just three songs, and I sat there. I did one roll of film and I sat there.
Remembering that time, I'm assuming that was probably an early time of your career doing music photography. Did you ever think that music photography was going at that time to be what you were going to be doing at all?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that's the beauty of being young in a way too. You do it because it's almost doing it for you, and you have no idea where it can go, because you don't, you know, you leave school, you don't really know too much about the world and the bigger picture. But you know, you follow something that you love to do, and it guides you, I think.
What about it excites you, taking photos of musicians?
I don't know, like, something just happens. Like, I go, when I pick up the camera, I mean, regardless of like a festival or whatever kind of shoot I'm doing, or a wedding, I did a mate's wedding the other day, I drop into this sort of timeless space, and I you know, it's beyond words, and it's just all feeling, and it's just, it's like floating along. You feel like you're actually living life, like, because you're not, you know, thinking in the future and you're not thinking in the past, you're actually very present in the moment, which is a very philosophical, you know, way that people try to live. But I was in to pick up the camera and go there.
I mean there's a whole heap of anecdotes in the book as well that you've kind of kindly requested people to submit to, which are also portrayed in the book, which I found really interesting to read. I gather that most of them saw the Big Day Out as more than a music festival, but more like a rather an exhibition of exploring and understanding people's creativity as well. What do you think about that? Do you think that's the same thing? Like, through photographs, do you think that, in a way, it's just a much more a visual thing to experience life throughout music, or is that too much a deep question?
Hang on. Like, so you're saying that through the images?
Yeah, both for you, through the images and words. Do you think that people have found the Big Day Out to be much more than a music festival, but more a celebration of, you know, exploring creativity?
Definitely, I'd say that. And I think the, you know, the beauty in the Big Day is that it goes for this one day, and it has such a amazing, you know, cycle to it. You know, it starts in the morning and the day builds, and there's that anticipation, and it goes into that, you know, midday heat, which is so intense in Australia. And, you know, then, like, you know, everyone's sort of had a few drinks by then and seen their best band, and, you know, it just sort of glides into yet another phase, and then into the cool of the evening, and or if it's still hot, and like that major band. And I think like for me, making the book was, I don't know, like, you know, maybe this is too big too, but, you know, to say, it's like tapping into each individual's journey. I think we all have like such a synergy that happens on that day, like whether you're a punter or an artist on stage, or, you know, at whatever level you're at, it goes into that creative space, I think, in the individual. And I mean, the Big Day Out artists always comment on how amazing the Big Day Out is, in that it ignites something in them, and actually they get to meet all these other musicians that they've never, you know, had contact with or always wanted to meet. And, you know, that's how that, you know, bands end up playing with other bands on stage. And
do you find that throughout the festival circuit that what, as you as a photographer, meeting all these bands and, you know, kind of doing photo shoots and kind of being that spontaneous kind of moment grabber,
yeah,
in many kind of aspects, do you think that over time, you know, that taking those photos, you could possibly, you know, be documenting history in many ways at that point in time? Or what goes through your mind when you actually take those photos in the first place?
Well, like I said before, actually I feel very present in the moment, yeah, to that photo. And maybe that's why in hindsight, when I look at the photos or other people look at them, they actually take them right back to that time and that space. And yeah, I think it does. Like, it has, without any imposition or intending to, it has documented this, you know, significant time in Australian music, just by, I don't know, by its own nature. Hmm. I don't think, you know, Ken West or Vivian Lee's ever had a vision, you know, that 14 years later it would be like this. That's the promoters.
Did you think it would have been a vision like this back in
no.
that time?
I think when you're young, like everyone that started working on that festival, we're all in our 20s, and, you know, the publicist, she was, you know, all young and just doing it by, you know, by braille.
Sophie, throughout the 14 years, what band has been the most enjoyable that you've actually had to photograph?
Jeez,
that's a big question.
That is a big question.
You can name more than one, I suppose.
Well, PJ Harvey always stands out. It was one of my favourite, actually, in the book. And, the, you know, her, I'm just having a look through the book now, like her energy, like, and the magic, and like the place that she holds within music internationally, I think, comes across in the photos, and the way the light falls on her dress in those particular shots. And in terms, going on to another photo, but in terms of like a crowd participation shot that just absolutely blows me away, and blew me away more when I actually went into the book, because I never really looked too closely at this photo, but it's actually a guy swinging off the stage at a Silverchair show in Melbourne in 1995, and he's actually done a somersault. He's got a backpack on, and he's just heading head first down face first into the crowd. And, you know, what the hell happened to that guy? And the crowd, there is absolutely no crowd control. People are hanging off roofs and off buildings. And I think, also going back to another question that you asked about the history, was like the Big Day Out, there were no boundaries back then. No one knew what the punter was going to do. The security guy, you know, security was at a completely different level. And that was, you know, such an amazing sort of sense of freedom.
Okay. In what way? Like, as a photographer, did you find that, you know, those days were much more a freer kind of time as opposed to nowadays, where you do have those, I suppose, three songs and then out of the front pit, and then you have to deal with all the light and doing all that dim light kind of photography.
Fast film.
Yeah, fast film and all that kind of jazz. Yeah. Do you think, I mean, reflecting back on those times, do you think that it was you know, a much more easier time for photographers back then, or like how's that all changed?
I think, well, easy time for photographers and for punters, because, you know, I heard stories, you know, punters sort of ended up backstage very easily. by mistake. And now there's like, you know, so much security. And that's just through experience of what people, you know, have shown that they can do. Like they can do somersaults off stages and jump off roofs and, you know, stage dive. And we, you know, we lost crowd surfing back in, I think, 95 or 96, you know, as now it's totally illegal. Mm. And you know, in terms of shooting and how that's changed in the pit, I think that there's more photographers and there's understandably like it's a bigger stage, it's a bigger audience and there's a lot of safety restrictions and it can get really scary down there in the pit. Like I know on a few occasions I've actually been, this is actually too scary for me down here. Something's weird in the air. I'm not going to shoot this one.
It's a dangerous environment at times, the festival circuit as well.
It really, yeah. You got bodies flying over at you. And, you know, I've been hit on the back of the head with shoes and bottles and stuff. And, like, you got the camera, like, that ends up in your face on the other side. So you got a bottle and a camera, like, squashing your head. So it can be a little dangerous. So understandably, like, that level of security has risen.
Yeah. Sophie, do you mind staying around for a little bit more longer and chatting a little bit about your book? We are speaking with Sophie Howarth.
Yep.
Yep.
She's not John Howard, no. By the way.
She's got a new book out called Peace, Love and Brown Rice. We'll be chatting more about that very soon after this track by Sloan here on The Daily, 2SCR 107.3.
Listen to the radio. Where did everybody go? There's silence all around the globe. I say it again, come on in. Voices in the static.
To SCR, Sloan from the album Never Hear the End of It. We heard Listen to the Radio, which is what you're doing here on 2SCR 107.3. My name is Philippe Perez. The Daily is the program. It's 20 minutes past 11. We still have Sophie Howarth in the studios. She is the Big Day Out's official tour photographer, and she's got a new book out called Peace, Love and Brown Rice, a photographic history of the Big Day Out. I'm still having trouble with that word. Sophie, how did you get about becoming a tour, the official tour photographer for the Big Day Out? How, like, did Vivian and Ken officially approach you, or, like, did they see enough of you over that time to say, yeah, you may as well?
When I was a young child, they could see that, oh, it's destined to become part of the Big Day. No, and also on that note, we can't forget about Tony Mott, because Tony Mott and I, we're like the yin and the yang. We're the, you know, the two elements, official photographers for Big Day Out.
Okay. At the same time.
Good mates too.
It was interesting because off air previously you had mentioned that you do get quite a lot of people who have read your book.
Yeah.
Like, of a young age, asking you for tips and, you know, ideas on taking the best photo in a gig situation, as well as band shoots as well. I mean, the airways are open. What would you think be, the most pertinent thing for a young music photographer out there who goes to just the regular gig and wants to take a photo of their favourite band, either professionally or unprofessionally? I mean, what would your wise words be, being involved in the industry for up to and towards 20 years?
Well, there's sort of two aspects to me. It's like, you know, often I get kids emailing me and they're a little bit despondent because they know what they want to do and how they want to, you know, express themselves, except there's that, I guess there's, you know, that because it's comes from a creative place, you can also be a little bit disillusioned because it's so, you know, the outside world, when you're kind of trying to speak your creative voice, is very hard to get out there. And I just say, stick with it. You gotta stick with your passion, you know, that thing that just makes you get up in the morning. And, you know, like, stuff happens, like, life happens. And, you know, like, look, I'm 36 and how come this happened? Like, how did I... And I wake up in the morning going, shit, how did that happen? How did I end up doing this and being that photographer and having a label to me, you know?
In many ways, I suppose it runs a kind of same parallel as a musician themselves, you know, sticking at it and making sure that you do, contact the right people and making sure that things are, you know, perfect in many kinds of aspects of the way that music is done. Music photography kind of in a small scale.
Yeah.
Does that same thing, don't you think? Or?
Oh, I definitely agree. There's a great, you know, synergy. And, I mean, with all arts, you know, that following that, you know, that thing that sings inside of you, that, you know, it just says, this is what you've got to do and you've got to listen to that and not let your head get in the way. I mean, obviously, we've got to make the money, but there's all means that can happen. And, you know, even Bill Gates reckons that money isn't everything. Mm. But I mean, the other advice is just play. Like, you know, I have one photograph of Nirvana because I didn't know what the hell I was doing, and I've got rolls and rolls of film that are blank. They should have Kurt Cobain on them.
I read in the book that you were you had a lot of shots,
lot of blanks.
Yeah, which were of Nirvana at those early days, which could probably been worth a lot of money.
Yeah, I could own my house right now. But, you know, that's part of what evolution and how it happens and how you figure it out. You know, you got to practice and just test out things. One guy's called Macca from the South Coast has been helping me, and he came and helped me slip all these books together because the book is in two editions.
You've got a new edition that comes around out for the 2006 Big Day Out. That
exactly.
Occurred in January this year.
So the original book is 92 to 2005, which came out at the beginning of this year, and then I've added to it with a 2006 edition and put it in a gorgeous slipcase.
It is quite nice, actually.
And it all kind of can sit there nicely together. And, you know,
it actually is. It's good. It's good to carry it and, you know, work your muscles as well.
Well, I reckon you could actually build a house with them if, you know, if there's a few thousand left over, maybe that's what I could do with them. But anyway, like, this guy Macca came and helped me slip all the books together. Like, we slipped 6,000 copies of books, and he was a real trooper. But, you know, on the payoff for him was he asked me lots of questions about photography, and I suggested all these films and how to do it and push the film. And, you know, a week later I got all these JPEGs, and he'd gone and kind of listened to what I said, and for him it was the right thing. Like, he wanted to put down his digi and go with a bit of film. And, like, you know, he had these amazing grainy photos, which is what I love, and, you know, for him that's what he loved. And so, you know, I feel, you know, it's good to impart some knowledge onto someone else.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Wow. I want to also just quickly ask you, were there any times where you had felt a little intimidated by anyone or any artists you didn't want to have their photo taken at the big day out? Because, I mean, there are debaucherous things that happen at the big day out, which probably we shouldn't mention on air, but did you feel that you had been intimidated by people saying, oh, look, don't take my photo or anything like that?
Yeah.
Or don't take my photo in this kind of light. No, like, how do you handle that kind of situation?
Well, I've been snapped at a few times, you know. What are you doing? And that little person inside sort of crumbles and, you know, disappears into a corner. But one thing I guess I go back to is actually my, when I shoot, I really like just tune into my intuition. And you just know when you shouldn't be photographing that dude backstage. There is like an air of something going, don't come near me. I mean, one time I did it with the Strokes and, you know, I said, oh, hi. And, you know, I was very, very chatty with him. And as soon as I said, like, we're going to be on the tour together and, you know, I just wanted to clear it with you that, you know, I'll be shooting because that's what I do and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm here for the Big Doubt photo album in a way. And he didn't say, he just turned around and walked away. Like, after chatting to me for about 5 or 10 minutes, as soon as I mentioned the word camera and photography, it was shut down and I didn't talk to him for the whole tour after that. And I didn't go near him.
That was a no-go area for the whole tour.
It was like a no-go. So the camera is an enemy to some artists. And at the same time, you know, I always feel, well, how would they be out there if it wasn't for us kind of taking the photos and putting it out there? I mean, and not in... in any kind of, like, I don't take photos that degrade anyone. So my thing is, like, beautiful photographs, great band, get it to the people. You know, there's a link there.
Mm. Sophie Howarth, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
That's not a problem. Your book, Peace, Love and Brown Rice, is available at good bookstores as well as via website.
Yes.
Which is
www.peacelovesandbrownrice. Yep.
.com.
Yep.
I believe that name of that book as well, you got inspiration from that, from the lily pad as well, is that right? Which from reading the book, I gathered you spent a lot of time around the folks at the lily pad as well.
Yes, yeah. I did actually, especially in 97. It just, well, I was always this island that just went on for the tour and, you know, rang Mum and said, I want to go and Big Dad again, can you give me some money and I'll pay you back? And then, like, one year Duck Pond approached me, or I was trying to somehow get on the road, and he said, come with us on the road. I didn't even know who he was. I saw him wandering around pre-Big Day. And he goes, come on the road and be our official photographer. We want to make a documentary. And I went, oh, sure, there's an inroad. And then it sort of just happened from there. And then, I don't know, I felt like a part of a family on the road. And, cool. You know, I scabbed rooms and floors and did all that and their meal tickets. And then, you know, as it all shakes down in 2003, Sahara rang and said, come on the road with us as our part of our party.
Cool.
And they've been awesome in supporting the book and its evolution. I have to say the Big Doubt have been really, really amazing in going, yep, and I've put everything through them and to them and they love it. And but buy it online. That's the best place to go, because then you're supporting me, because I'm a self-published bookmaker. I'm a publisher as well, so I'm self-published. Peace, Love and Brown Rice.
.com. And
for Christmas, we can get out to you as soon as possible. This is a good plug.
Sophie, thank you very much for coming in. I really do appreciate it. Yeah. Look, I'm not saying anything. Why don't you just take over the show?
Part of the community. Community radio, right?
Too short. Sophie, thank you very much for coming on the program this morning.
Thank you, Phil.
You're listening to The Daily. My name's Philippe Perez, and we're now going to hear from El Perro del Mar. This is from her album, her self-titled album. We're going to hear the track, People.